The court had a delicate task, considering the not wholehearted support the majority of changes gave to staying where they were, and therefore within the adherents' sphere of influence. By sending Horsa to Shah's world with instructions to stay there for several years, but not punishing him otherwise, the court hoped to make all concerned feel their own particular view had carried the day. To the extent that there was no revolt, that the Academy remained the ruling force in the asteroid, and that the services of changes were in demand as never before since the formation of their unique species, the court had succeeded. In some ways, Horsa had been lucky. He was without friends or influence. His parents were dead. His clan was all but defunct, save for him. Family ties meant a lot in the Changer society, and with no influential relatives or friends to speak for him, Horsa had perhaps escaped more lightly than he had a right to expect. Horsa cooled his heels on Shah's world's snows for less than a year before leaving to join the adherents in their fight against the culture, both before and after it was officially termed a war. During that time, he had started a relationship with one of the four other changers there, the woman changer, Kirahel, who disagreed with almost everything Horsa believed, but had loved him, body and mind, despite it all. When he left, he knew it had hurt her much more than it had hurt him. He had been glad of the companionship, and he liked her, but he hadn't felt anything like what humans were supposed to feel when they talked of love, and by the time he left, he was starting, just starting, to grow bored. He told himself at the time that that was the way life was, that he would only hurt her more in the end by staying, and that it was partly for her sake he was leaving. But the expression in her eyes the last time he'd looked into them had not been something he enjoyed thinking about for a long time. He had heard she was still there, and he thought of her and had fond memories. And the more he had risked his life and the more time had elapsed, the more he wanted to see her again, the more a quieter, less dangerous sort of existence appealed to him. He had imagined the scene, imagined the look in her eyes when he came back to her. Maybe she would have forgotten about him, or even be committed to some relationship with the other changers at the base on Shah's world. But Horsa didn't really think so. He thought of such things only as a sort of insurance. Yalsun made things a little difficult, perhaps, but he was trying not to build too much into their friendship and coupling, even though he was fairly sure it was only those two things to her as well. So, he would impersonate Craiglin if he could, or at least kill him and just take over, and hope he could get round the comparatively crude identity fidelities built into the cat's computer, or get somebody else to do so. Then he would take the clear air turbulence to Shah's world, rendezvous with the adherents if he could, but go in anyway, assuming Mr. Adequate, the pet name the changes on the Shah's world base had for the Dryazan being which guarded the planet, would allow him through the quiet barrier after the adherents' botched attempt to fool it with a hollowed-out Chuihirtsi. He would, if at all possible, give the rest of the company the chance to back out. One problem was knowing when to strike at Craiglin. Horsa was hoping that an opportunity would arise on Vavach, but it was hard to make definite plans because Craiglin didn't seem to have any of his own. He had simply talked of opportunities on the orbital, which were bound to arise due to its impending destruction, whenever he had been asked during the journey. "That lying bastard," Yalsun said one night when they were about halfway to Vavach from Marduin. They were lying together in what was now their cabin, in the darkness of the ship night, in about a half G on the cramped bed space. "What?" Horsa said. "Don't you think he's going to Vavach after all?" "Oh, he's going there all right, but not because there are unknown possibilities for a successful job. He's going for the damage game." "What damage game?" Horsa asked, turning to her in the darkness where her naked shoulders lay on his arm. He could feel their soft down against his skin. "You mean a big game? A real one?" "Yeah, the ring itself. Last I heard, it was only a rumor, but it makes more sense every time I think about it. Vavach is a certainty, provided they can get a quorum together." "The player's on the eve of destruction," Horsa laughed gently. "You think Craiglin means to watch or play?" "He'll try to play, I suppose. If he's as good as he says he is, they might even let him, as long as he can raise the stake. That's supposed to be how he won the cat. Not off anybody in a ring game, but it must have been pretty heavy company if they were gambling ships. But I guess he'd be prepared to watch it if he came to it. I bet that's why we're all going on this little holiday. He might try and come up with some sort of excuse or fabricate some op, but that's the real reason. Damage. Either he's heard something or he's making an intelligent guess, but it's so fucking obvious.